Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Journals of the Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. This is Mary Blake, your host, and we have a very interesting show today for you. My guest is Diane Pollock, and she is someone who was taken up fashion designing from the very beginning, and then she came up with something absolutely, totally different. I'm going to let her tell you all about it. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, it's not often that someone knows practically from the very minute what they really want to do. How did it happen with you? Here were you, a three-year-old designing clothing and things?
No, as a matter of fact, I did want to be in design. I was always creative growing up. I was always reinventing my clothing, not necessarily making it from scratch like a lot of designers do, but always adding buttons and trim and dyeing and cutting and you name it, just recreating things. And I also use my creativity for jewelry making and that sort of a thing. So it was always... I was always very interested in fashion, but I actually thought for a long time that I could not be a designer because, as many people think, that designing is about sitting and sketching and drawing. And although I'm extremely creative, I was never artistic. And that actually turned out to be a fallacy. So you really don't need to be a grand artist in order to be a designer, and there's actually so many other components and facets of information that you do need to be a designer, which I became aware of.
So people kept telling you you can't because you can't draw?
No, nobody ever told me that. No. It was my thoughts. I think people often think once I did become a designer, they said, "Oh, so you're sitting and you're sketching all day." And I said, "No," but I had also holding on to that belief that was incorrect. So that actually had stopped me for a while, and I actually became a designer sort of through a back door of the industry, so to speak.
Oh, really? So. Nothing was going to stop you, huh? Okay.
Yes, I guess that was it. Mm-hmm.
But did you think about you? What else did you think you could do for a career to make money or to whatever before you found out the truth?
Right. Well, you know, after my little girl dreams and everything, I did always want to be in fashion, but the thing about the designer was holding me back. So actually when I graduated, when I was in college and graduating, I was thinking that I really wanted to work for a magazine in the fashion department, which I guess would be a lot of girls' dreams. But, as you know, there's only, this was before the time of any type of internet and blogging, there's only a handful of, you know, big fashion magazines. So you had to be in the know and be hooked up, I think, in order to really, truly get a lot of those few jobs.
I hear you. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, so you had to know somebody and you didn't. Okay.
Right. So I actually started my career, my first job was called a trim assistant. And trim is all the buttons, beadings, belts, and embroidery and everything that is on clothing. So I did that at Liz Claiborne, and it wasn't a real design job, but it was actually my bosses were designers. So from there, I did learn to do technical sketching, not the grand fashion illustrations, which were really not necessary and now have become antiquated and, you know, computerized and everything. And so that's how I started and got my foot in the door of the industry.
Oh, isn't that great? Well, Liz Claiborne is one of the top people. So you started out at the top, really. You know, even if you came in the back door, that's great.
Right. Right, yes.
So you graduated from what, FIT or something, or
no? I actually that was in retrospect, I think a mistake of mine. I did not go to fashion school because I wasn't thinking that I was going to become a designer. I had actually really tried when I first graduated. I actually applied to these magazines and I had done an internship one summer, but they sort of they weren't. That wasn't very successful. And they weren't very nice to me.
They can be that way, can't they?
Mm-hmm. So I did not go to fashion school at that time and, was not planning my career that way. So once I got my foot in the door at Liz Claiborne and was in the industry, I did start taking classes at FIT and eventually got a certificate in design at Parsons.
Oh, I see. Great. Okay.
And then
you really took your own way.
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would recommend it. I think some of the technical skills, that you learn in design school are definitely really helpful and can help you get farther quicker. But, it worked for a while. But I'm no longer a designer after almost 25 years in the industry. But taking my passion into fashion, keeping it in fashion, but doing a new way of working in the industry.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, so you really wound up creating your own. This is interesting because you sort of yourself. Is that right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I what myself?
You reinvented yourself.
I did, not from scratch, because I stayed in the fashion industry, but a very, very different end of it. I was working in the corporate world, working for other people, designing for them, with really just the focus on design and whatever designing for whoever their particular customers were. And it really never occurred to me. I was never interested in having my own. People used to ask me if I wanted to, ultimately design my own line of clothing or something like that. And that was absolutely never my interest or goal. I sort of liked somebody taking care of the finances and the sales and the production and all of that. But
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so it was never a dream to be an entrepreneur or anything like that.
But
the industry changed.
Mm-hmm. Why do I get the feeling that you're back to doing what you did when you were a kid?
In a sense, you're not wrong. So, as I don't think the listeners know, I am currently a wardrobe consultant and personal shopper, also known as a stylist. But again, many people think that when I say this, I am, that they're stylists to the stars, and I am not. It is truly for the everyday woman who needs help because they're too busy or overwhelmed or don't know how to put their outfits together in a way that really looks great and makes them feel great. So you're absolutely right. I did always growing up, I was always in my friends and family's closets, helping them with outfits, picking out items in stores for them.
So it
truly was like a natural progression. When I finally left corporate to come into this new arena of fashion.
Isn't that wonderful? But, it's amazing. In almost any industry, you can say that an amateur, we call us amateurs, say I'm an amateur cook, And I would say, you know, that some of these big stars, the cooks on the TV and everything, they could come into my house, use my ingredients, and come up with a sensational recipe that I would never dream of making.
Right, absolutely. That's actually a really good analogy. That's exactly right. I go into people's closets, and after we have gotten rid of all the clothes that are just not working, if they're, you know, worn out, outdated, just don't fit well, whatever the reason.
Or just completely wrong for their body or their style or their energy.
Exactly. So once we've actually gotten rid of all the clothes that do not work, I actually create new outfits with what that they have. And you're absolutely right. They are outfits that my clients have never thought of wearing together before and that look better and more stylized and just the next level of what their actual look is.
I think that is sensational. Yeah, because so many times if you get like an image consultant, they're going to take you to a specialty shop and make you try on 50 outfits and buy 12 of them, and you're spending a fortune and you're paying them to do it. And so a lot of people cannot afford that, and they can't afford the time, and it kind of does something to your self-esteem. But I can just see you going in there and saying, "I love this thing. You were so smart to buy this. Let's hold on to this," and building their confidence and helping them to just feel better about themselves when they go out. And when you feel good, automatically whatever you're doing comes out better.
Absolutely. That's actually one of the key points of my business. The name of my company is Style Empower, and it's about empowering women to feel confident in their dress. And one of the first things I state on my website that if you feel empowered and confident, you radiate that confidence, and others perceive you that way. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you even walk different when you know you got a great outfit on, and people
Absolutely.
Are looking at you. You know, I mean, you carry yourself differently. You speak a little differently because you're not, you know, so uncomfortable. Wonder should I have worn this? What should I do? Am I doing the right thing? You know, what did they think about me? And the minute you feel that you're put together and you feel great, my gosh, the whole world changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's not just this superficial sort of thing, oh, I'm wearing this outfit. It really is a bigger picture, absolutely.
That's great. So you really deal with the whole woman, I betcha.
Yeah, in certain ways. I mean, I don't consider myself an image consultant, so I am not in charge of hair and makeup and that sort of thing. So I might make a recommendation for hair, but I am not. That's not my expertise. It really is about the clothing, but how to put it together in a certain way, and definitely the accessories. Accessories are so key in taking an outfit. I like to call it from fine to fab, and I actually I have a page on my website called Fine to Fab. And what it is taking one particular item, whether it's the pants or whatever, or the jacket, and putting it together in a way that, you know, first the fine outfit is somebody walks out the door and they look okay. Nobody's going to say, oh, my God, can you believe that she didn't look in the mirror today? She looks okay. She looks fine. But who wants to look fine? Don't you want to look fabulous? So just taking the right accessories, the right shoes, the right and the other piece of item of clothing to go with it can really make a fabulous outfit.
Oh, that's wonderful! I love it. I really do. I can see. And you know, when you're not with your when you haven't studied fashion, and when you don't feel quite confident about what really looks good on you, a lot of times you make some mistakes.
Sure.
And then
sure.
You put the wrong things together, and they just like look like something that you grab and stuck on, you know.
Right. And sometimes people can spend a lot of money on an item of clothing, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, nobody's going to point that person out as a great dresser or anything like that, even though they spent all this money, because they're not putting it together in the proper way. So it's really not about spending the money and the whole expression that money doesn't buy you style. So that's not what it's about. You can actually take less expensive pieces and put them together in a really empowered way, well stylized and accessorized, and you can get more compliments on those than on the expensive piece that just sort of fades in.
And don't you, well, you know, there's something that I used to call expensive ugly.
Absolutely.
You spend a lot of money on it, but it's so wrong for you that it's worse, you know.
Right, that's true. And there are actually trends right now that they, I'm forgetting, it's similar to an expensive ugly, but it's I can't remember the term, but it's that type of thing. All of these Birkenstock shoes are in right now, and it's trendy, and all the people are wearing them. But quite honestly, unless you're have the body of a model and the style, and really a super style person, the average person that puts on these trendy, ugly things are just really not going to look so crazy.
There are some people that would look gorgeous in a burlap bag.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
It's the way they put it on and the way they wear it, and it's.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got that attitude.
There's definitely an attitude, and it also has to do with a certain body type, certain women that put things on. I mean, for instance, people might disagree with me. I don't think that Kate Middleton has excellent taste. However, she's a young, beautiful girl with a body like a model, and she puts things on, and they look fabulous on her. But that is because of who she is and what she has. And, you know, not everybody that's going to put that on is going to look as great as she does in it.
Oh, yeah. I remember... sometimes cartoons can say so much. And I remember this cartoon where this woman was standing on the curb, and she had her legs splayed out and kind of leaning backwards and one hand dramatically up in the air. And her husband says, "Honey, just because you bought that designer dress, you don't have to look like the model did." And I thought that was the cutest thing, you know, because a lot of things you try on in the studio, you know, or in the dressing room or whatever, and you get home with them, and somehow they just don't look like they did when you tried them on, and everybody was saying, "Oh, that's perfect for you." And so you get
that
home with it and say, "What am I going to do with this? Where am I going to wear it? You know what?" So how do you do this? I've got the funny feeling that you went beyond going into a person's closet. What with your fertile imagination, what did you come up with?
I'm not quite sure of the question. Once I'm in someone's closet, is that what you're asking?
No, I said that's not enough for you, just working one-on-one. So
go ahead.
Don't you have parties and things?
Oh, yes, I do. I do, but first of all, I will say that I do love working one-on-one. very much. Because I am really all about the customer, and my business is called Style for Your Lifestyle, so it is very individualized.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. I do have parties that I'm calling Style U, as in the letter U, which is sort of a pun on university and also Y-O-U.
Uh-huh.
And they are based on the concept of a Tupperware party.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, if, Mary, you wanted to have your friends over and you would invite maybe 5 to 15 friends, a nice little group of ladies, and you
uh-huh.
can serve, you know, whether it's, you know, cocktails in the evening or bagels and coffee on a Sunday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And it would be get together, just have a little nice girls' day, and I come in and show my expertise. We ask the ladies to bring an item or two of clothing that they love hanging, that's hanging in their closet, but they really don't know how to wear it or what goes with it, or,
uh-huh.
you know, so it just sort of
uh-huh.
hangs in their closet, probably with a tag
mm-hmm.
on it.
And, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so then I come in as the entertainment and the information and give my expertise on my recommendations for, you know, what type of items, what colors, what, you know, it really depends on the specific item in the mm-hmm. question, but how they can
mm-hmm.
wear it or what they can buy to wear with it or what they own.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of, yeah, it's a really fun sort of girls get together day where somebody can, you know, be the hostess. Oh, and the hostess does get a little hostess gift of some of my styling expertise. So it's a,
uh-huh.
it's a win all around. I get to meet new people and, you know,
mm-hmm.
show them my expertise, and they get free information and hang out and have food and fun with their girlfriends. And so it's a
uh-huh.
really nice kind of event.
So
yeah.
Do you bring accessories and show them how to do certain change it to make it their own, or how
I
do you help?
I don't, because I don't know what they're going to bring. So I cannot
okay.
bring the proper accessories to go with what they're going to bring. However,
uh-huh.
if I don't, you know, if I can't describe the item well, sometimes I will get their information and I can email them a picture online, or if I'm shopping in a store,
uh-huh.
I can photograph and send them pictures if they're not really clear on the item.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it's really important to see the item. I don't think that I could bring the right things to
uh-huh.
go with whatever they happen to pull out of their closet. Sometimes I do have these events not at someone's home, in which case I just call it the What Do I Wear With This Event, and I will do it often in conjunction with a jewelry designer or a accessories designer, and I'll do it in their showroom, and then they get to have, we have also the opportunity to have a sample sale on whatever
mm-hmm.
their item is that they're selling. So that is another way that I have these events and have these parties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great, because many people don't know how to use accessories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that is one of the things that I teach my clients when I work with them. There are certain quote-unquote rules. Some people over-accessorize, and then also just under-accessorizing, that sometimes you need that extra piece to really make it look stylized. So when I work
uh-huh.
with my clients, I really try to educate them on, you know, well, these, you know, maybe there's too many items together, or maybe you, one of the things that I teach, for instance, is that the accessories often should go with the mood of the item. So, you know, your clothing could have a classic mood. It could have a bohemian mood. It could have a graphic
uh-huh.
sort of mood. So if there's prints and patterns or a certain style, and you would want your accessories to go with that. Otherwise, they're sort
mm-hmm.
of just random pieces. So if you're wearing something Baroque, maybe your accessories are very ornate and swirly. But if you're wearing
uh-huh.
something that's, you know, very graphic, maybe it's a Mondrian or something, you want your jewelry
mm-hmm.
to be very clean and modern. You're not going to wear that same swirly, ornate kind of jewelry with it. So I sort of teach them about what type of things to look for so that they can go, you know, on their own when they're getting dressed or shopping or whatever, they can actually learn the best pieces that will work with it. And, of course, there's different lengths for necklaces, sometimes, you know, different necklines, sometimes they're interfering with things. You know, long necklaces can interfere with belts, too much going on in your stomach area.
Yeah.
Lots of different things. Sometimes people will over-accessorize. Big chunky necklace, big dangling earrings, and big colorful glasses. And it's just too much attention drawn to one place. So I try to educate about accessorizing, absolutely.
That's very interesting. Yeah, because it's absolutely fascinating. You know, when you realize that... that just putting on a piece of jewelry doesn't mean you've accessorized, huh?
That is true. There are things that sort of don't work together or fight each other or just aren't really the best pieces for that outfit. And so what's nice is when clients work with me, they're not just working for that very moment when I'm with them. They actually have some information to take away, whether it be accessories or in clothing. You know, we talk about proportions or what works for them or that type of thing. So there's definitely an educational value they get when working with me.
I see.
And
do you give them advice on color?
I do sometimes. That, again, is more of the entire image consulting, which I don't get into, but I do sometimes, absolutely, yes. I'm really more focused, I guess, because of my background. I was designing for people, and then they would have to choose the items themselves. So I'm really about different body types and shapes and that sort of thing. But I can absolutely guide them with color.
I see. Well, suppose somebody comes in with a dress that's all wrong for them. What do you how do you handle that? Because I get the feeling that you try hard to build the people up instead of tear them down, like some fashion designers do.
And I think that there are some important things to take into account as far as how I answer and how I feel about the actual items of different clients that I'm working with. For instance, I had one woman bring me in, and her biggest purpose that she brought me into her closet was she loved all of her clothing, and but she had too much of it. So her main goal in bringing me in was to get rid of many items and to decide which were the best items to keep and which were not. So we did do some outfits and everything, but that was really not her focus. So she was an older woman, and when I say older, she sort of looked a little bit like Joan Rivers.
Okay.
But a very petite, tiny little woman. And so what she would do, she liked to dress very, very young. And
yeah.
So I appreciate somebody who's older dressing young, and I'm all for somebody dressing young. There's a certain level of sophistication. You want to be on trend but still be sophisticated. But this woman was shopping in junior departments because she could fit into that. And buying items that were leopard print and sequined and leather mini skirts and this type of item. So her entire wardrobe, for the most part, there were tons of things that I would not recommend for her. I did not think were up to her caliber and her sophistication level. However, she did not bring me in to tell me. She brought me in to tell her what to get rid of. And she didn't want to look old and dated. So there were certain items in her closet that were a little bit more matronly and perhaps too matronly for what she was looking to achieve. And she was a person who was on the stage sometimes, so she did want to have a little bit of presence. So there were lots of things that I didn't really, most of her wardrobe I didn't really love. However, it was up to me to help choose the items that I thought that she should get rid of and the ones that she should keep. So, you know, I had to do that in a very diplomatic way, and she wasn't there to tell, you know, to ask me, you know, what do you think of this dress? Do you like this dress?
Yeah.
And I think a very important thing to remember is that although, you know, a good taste, it's sort of, you know, subjective. So although there, most people would agree on one thing, that this is person's on the best dress list and this person is not, if somebody really feels fabulous and empowered in a certain dress and they just absolutely love it and they wear it and they feel great in it, I'm actually going to let them have it, because it's really about that confidence that radiates out. If they have an ugly dress in their wardrobe that they're not sure about, or an ugly dress in their wardrobe that they don't wear, I will be happy to recommend that. I think that that couldn't go away and we won't miss it. So the point is, I think it really depends on the circumstance of the person and what they bring me in to do for them.
I see. So how did she feel when you left her, when you finished your work?
Well, that's actually very interesting. I actually learned a lot from that client, too, because although she brought me in to get rid of many items in her wardrobe, she loved everything, and she had a hard time parting with them. So I was making recommendations for her, and there were lots of things in the maybe pile. And then there became a pile of things to go to the tailor and the, you know, to alter this and fix that and what have you. And I spoke to her to follow up, and she said that she didn't really feel purged enough. And I said to her, I will come back complimentary because I didn't do my job. And I realized that this was a woman, as she fought me on every piece that I recommended to get rid of, that I had to really couldn't let things stay in the maybe pile, and I had to really push her harder. So that was a very good learning experience. So when I walked in the door, I said, what percentage of items do we need to for you to feel purged? You know, 25% of your wardrobe. So this is a woman that I learned I needed to be clear with. Other people I guess would either easily get rid of items that I recommended or you know, but this was a woman who was, even though she brought me in to do it, she was really fighting it. And so I had to sort of take a firmer ground the second time around and say, you know what? You know those items that are going to the tailor? Forget it. They don't work now. Those are items that you should purge if this is your goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a very interesting experience.
They weren't worth the spending extra money on.
Exactly. If your goal is to get rid of things, then why are you fixing things? But yeah, she had enough. She really had enough.
So that second time around, how did it turn out?
Then she was thrilled. She wanted to take me out to lunch for my efforts and all this, and then she was very happy. So I learned if somebody brings me in to do this and then fights me, for this type of customer, I have to fight back a little bit harder and be a little bit firmer.
Interesting. Yeah. So your customers teach you things.
Absolutely. Sure. And every person is different, you know. There are people that I've worked with who are just happy. If I say it goes, they just happily, easily pass it on, and that's it. So you really have to learn your customers' personalities and, you know, what works for them.
Yeah. Well, tell me your website so that people can find you.
Absolutely. So it can be a little bit confusing and people mishear it, but it is the word style, and it's the word empower, as in to empower someone. And it is all one word with one E. So it is STYLE. YLEM, as in Mary, POWER, styleandpower.com. I'd love to add that although we mostly talked about closets, which really is a big focus of my business, I also do the personal shopping with a client who needs a guided eye, or for a client who's too busy to shop, and then I bring it to them and return it for them so that, you know, everything is taken care of very efficiently.
Uh-huh. So you might bring them three outfits and let them pick one.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Uh-huh. If somebody is having, like, a busy executive and they've got an award ceremony that they have to really look glamorous for, and this is a person that it usually doesn't dress up. You know,
right.
they just throw something on and go to work, you know.
Right.
And so you ask them questions about what they like and what makes them feel good and how they think of themselves, or how do you get to know?
Yeah, you have to, absolutely. So I would have a consultation with them first. You need to know what is the event and all the specifics of the event. You need to know, obviously, their size. You need to know their budget. And then you need to know specific items. Is there a certain color they love or hate? Are they trying to cover their arms? What types of clothing? Perhaps they even have a picture of an old favorite dress. Or, you know, different ideas of what their particular style is. Is the dress long or short? Is it sexy? Is it, you know, more covered up? Who are the audience that they're going to be at? What type of event is it? So I get all the information, what types of stores they like to shop at, any favorite designers, anything that will help me hone in on what the ideal item is for this person. Then I can also help accessorize. So with that dress, you need shoes and a bag and, you know, maybe a necklace if you're not wearing your own, you know, jewelry or what have you. So absolutely.
That's very interesting because I would think a busy executive would, many busy executives need your help just as much as a housewife who has, you know, buried herself in cookies and oatmeal, you know. And, and all of a sudden she's going for her homecoming and she wants to look good, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. All different occasions and reasons, you know, single women, divorced women, change of size, going back into the workforce, all different reasons, you know, that women are looking to reinvent themselves perhaps or a special occasion. Yeah, there's all kinds of needs.
Tell me about somebody you helped to reinvent herself. What was it like?
Well, let's see. You know, I think the single thing is really important, and especially if you've come out of a divorce or something before. So you're already feeling, you know, you're not feeling so great, and you're thinking, well, I have to do this all over again. So I think it's a certain of, you know, helping women feel sexy again. And, you know, to each woman, that means a different thing also, because some women, it could be stilettos and a miniskirt, and to somebody else, you know, their sexy is, I don't know, you know, something a little bit more conservative. So, but it's about helping them actually feel sexy, whatever their sexy is, but not too sexy. That's another thing that I try to avoid. And one thing that I tell these women is that you really, if you're going to dress sexy, you only want to focus on one particular body part that you're showing off. So if it's your shoulders, then, you know, you're not wearing a super mini skirt. Or if it's your back, you know, the same thing. So just focus on one area of being sexy. Or maybe it's just putting on those heels because you're used to wearing sneakers. Whatever it takes. Maybe it's about just wearing sexy lingerie, whether it's going to be seen or not. Just having, again, that internal feeling of knowing that, you know, you got this sexy little secret on.
That little devilish thing, if they could only see me.
See
what's underneath this. Yeah, that can put a sparkle in your eye. But how does it affect their spirit?
Well, absolutely. Back to what I was saying before about when you feel, whether it's sexy or empowered, confident, whatever it is, you actually radiate that. And as we talked about, you know, walk in a certain way and, you know, carry yourself in a certain way, and other people see you that way. So if you walk out the door and feel great and confident, then your date or the people that you're presenting to at the office or whoever it is that you want to see that sexy or see that confidence, they're going to see that in you.
Are there any hard and fast rules that you can teach them? They always do this or never do this?
Yeah,
that help people?
Yeah, there's some. I like to be very general with rules, and of course rules can be broken in the right way. One rule I had just pointed out was about, if you're going to be sexy at all, is about just focus on one area, because otherwise you can be too sexy and look like you're trying too hard. So that's a good general rule. And, you know, again, what your sexy means is different for different people. The other rule that now we're still, I guess, I'm still focused on the dating concept, is that you want to wear something comfortable, but that you feel good in. And when I say comfortable, I don't mean sweats. But what I do mean is that if you have killer stilettos and they feel killer and your feet hurt, and all you're thinking about that evening is your feet hurting and that you can't walk, then you're not going to be a fun date. If you keep grabbing at your top because it keeps falling down and that's what you're worried about, then you're not going to be a fun date. So there are certain things such as that you want to think about. And you want to think about, you want to look like you tried and that, like, you are looking, that you put yourself together and are looking sexy for this person, but you don't want to be trying too hard. And on the flip side, you don't want to come out in an outfit with your hair all messed up and not look like you're trying at all. You know, you want to put some effort into it. So there's always a happy medium. And I say that also about what is appropriate in different ranges, whether it is a date or a certain event, you go to some kind of a cocktail event or whatever. There's always a range of what is considered appropriate attire. So there's different ends of the spectrum, and you can do whatever fits in that range. So it doesn't have to be cookie cutter, but you do want to fit in the range of appropriate. For instance, obviously, you're not going to wear jeans to a cocktail event. So, you know, what is appropriate? There are cocktail dresses. There are business suits. There are actually lovely pants suits that you can wear that are dressed up. There's all different ranges of what is appropriate. So just keep within the appropriate range and then be yourself. Oh, and then actually that brings me to a very other important point, is about being yourself and being authentic. I have two great examples of stories for myself. I don't know how long we have. I can tell.
Oh, good. We have plenty of time. We have about 15 minutes left.
I will tell two examples of stories of myself about being authentic. The first one I'll make really quick. I have very curly, long hair. And this I did not go with any of the straightenings that have been the trend for quite a while. And recently, as I left my hairdresser, it was about 8 degrees out, and I said, I should really draw. I usually just walk out of the hair salon with my wet head, and it dries naturally. And I said, oh, it's really cold out. Maybe I should get my hair dried. So they said, oh, would you like a blowout? So I said, well, all right, I guess so. And I realized that the last time I had a blowout was about 8 years before when I went to some event. And for that week or so that I have the blowout, I got so many compliments from people. But you know what? When I woke up and I looked in the mirror, I didn't feel like me. I felt that the curly hair was my personality. It was my trademark. And although I've had plenty of bad hair days with the curly hair, I just felt very average and plain, and I didn't see the beauty of it on me. So I didn't feel like my authentic self, and I think that that's really important. And the other story is very similar. It was a jacket that I had designed back when I was a designer, and my mother had the sample of this jacket, which no longer fit her, and she offered it to me. And I tried it on, and it was red, which was a color that looked great on me. And I accessorized it in a way. It was a little bit of a more conservative jacket than I would normally wear, but I made it trendy in my way with certain accessories. And I wore it to an event. And I knew when I looked in the mirror that I looked good. But when I went to that event, I also realized that I didn't feel like myself. The jacket was just not my personal style. And so I knew when I was going home, and I got a bunch of compliments on it, I knew when I went home that that jacket was going in the giveaway pile. Because even, you know, if other people think that things look good on you, you have to feel great in them. And I think the best thing in the world is when you put something on, think you look great in it, feel out, go out looking confident, and then other people compliment you. Then you know that's a great outfit, and that's an outfit you want to repeat and remember.
So just having, if somebody say that you look good, isn't enough. You have to feel good.
Right, and you have to feel like it's you. It's your style. Because, you know, there's plenty of different styles there, from traditional to trendy to bohemian to what have you. And it's got to be something that fits under what you consider your style. Because you could, you know, you could be this beautiful girl, Kate Middleton or whoever, and put on a dress and it looks great on you, but it might just not be her thing or your thing. So, you know, just because it looks good on you doesn't mean that it is you.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I also say, again, back to my style for your life style tagline, you know, when people talk about must-have items, that's another thing that I am really, really, really against. I read a list of must-have items, and I think, I'm a fashion person, and a whole bunch of them are not items that I must have. And when they talk about, you know, something as vague as a little black dress in your closet, guess what? You don't ever have to have a little black dress in your closet. If you like color, if you like print, or maybe you don't like dresses at all, as long as this goes back to the appropriate. If it's an event that you're supposed to wear a little black dress to, that would be very appropriate, then maybe we find you a lovely pants item or jumpsuit or something else that will work and be authentic to you, because you don't want to wear that little black dress. So nobody says you. Yeah. I say there's no such thing as a must-have.
Mm-hmm. So when if it feels like a uniform, it's no good. Right?
Well, that's actually not exactly what I'm saying. Because some people love a uniform. But what I'm saying is that it has to be, again, authentic to you. You know, people talk about maybe a classic tan raincoat, trench type of coat as a must-have in your closet. But personally, that's too classic for me. I'm not a classic person, so that is not going to be a must-have for me. I'm never going to wear that. It's just not my style. And I think it is a must-have for many women, and that's fabulous. That can be their mm-hmm. go-to spring coat. But for me, that's yeah. not going to work.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, yeah. So some people love the uniform.
Have there been any people that you worked with that say that you just changed my life? Thank you so much.
Yes, there have been, in all different sorts of ways. I had one client who actually wrote her blog or what have you, and she said that after she got rid of so many items in her closet, that she felt she went on this purge of spring cleaning her house, and she got rid of tons of items, you know, in her house. She's like, I don't need all these, you know, whatever it is, books or I don't know, other knickknacks or what have you. So she felt uh-huh. sort of purged, enlightened in that way. So that's one example. Another client who she loved wearing scarves. But the way that she was matching her scarves back to her outfits was really wasn't working well. And I taught her, you know, about, you know, how to work with the colors in certain ways, because she was choosing exactly the opposite of the best ways, I thought, to wear these scarves back to what kind of colors. So she actually wrote me a recommendation. I forgot her exact words, but like she has a whole new way of looking at her closet, and she's excited to sort of wear these items, mm-hmm. you know, in a whole new way. And I think a lot of people feel that way, feel that they have a larger closet and a larger wardrobe because they had no idea that certain things would look good together, or they just had certain things that looked okay together, but now they feel fabulous together.
Sometimes it takes just a tiny little thing, and it makes a total difference.
Absolutely. And then I have another story that I love about, I was going through a client's closet, and she put on this leopard raincoat, which was really very cute. And she said, when I put on this coat, I feel like $1 million. And I said to her, mm-hmm. well, how often do you wear the coat? I mean, it wasn't a special occasion coat. And she said, not very often. And I said, don't you want to feel like $1 million all the time? So not that you should wear that coat all the time, but that she should have a closet full of coats that make her feel that way. So if that coat isn't appropriate, her next coat is. And I actually have thought about her as I got rid of, I've put on coats in my closet that I feel exactly the same way. And then I put on an older coat in my closet and said, you know what? I loved this coat when I bought it, but all of a sudden, I don't feel like that $1 million anymore. I feel like $1 million in this coat. So why am I keeping this coat, which is perfectly fine, but doesn't make me feel the same way? So, you know, sometimes you need to maybe hold on to that coat until you find a replacement. It depends, you know, on your needs and your wardrobe. Maybe it's a disposable coat at the time, or maybe it's a clue to think, I'd really like to find my $1 million coat that I can feel like $1 million in and replace this coat with that. So you want a wardrobe of items that you really feel like $1 million in.
And, you know, I just thought of something. Maybe you've run into people like this. Have you run into people, for example, who work at home and they just throw on any old thing because they're not going anywhere?
Absolutely.
And yet, how would their lives change if they pared down some of those grunge things and left with things that they feel good in, and they would have to put on the things that they feel good in at home, and then they would then that might change their life. Who knows?
Absolutely. There are definitely people, and everybody works in different ways, but there are definitely people that sit behind a computer that sometimes feel like, if I take a shower and put on my confident outfit, then, you know, even in my emails or my phone calls, it's going to be reflected. And I'm going to feel like that business person. And that works for a lot of people. It doesn't work for everyone. I have to admit to you that I love working in my pajamas, and then I also love having the opportunity to take a shower and get dressed. But I work very well in my pajamas. So, but for certain people, there is definitely that aspect of feeling the confidence of getting dressed and feeling like that person. And for those people who maybe just, you know, when they work behind the computer and then maybe they just need to run out to the drugstore or the supermarket, I recommend those people are very good to have some very basic core pieces that just look well and fit well. And it could be that great pair of jeans, and it could be just some casual ballet flats or what have you, but they're like the nice ones, and it's not just some old grungy shoes. So the jeans are great, and they're in style, and they look great on you, and the shoes are casual but sophisticated, and, you know, then maybe it's just throwing on, whether it's a cashmere sweater or, you know, just another great piece so that when you go to the supermarket, because you never know who you're going to run into.
There you go.
You look good, but you don't have to be all decked out in the heels and what have you, because it's not really necessary from going from your computer to the supermarket.
And if you dress in the morning and something comes up, you don't have to sit there and say, what should I put on? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another great thing that I do with my clients is that when we create these outfits is that I take photographs of them. Because, you know, depending on how big their wardrobe is, are they going to remember, did Diane say that looked good with that, that looked good with that? So the best thing is for those ladies who open their closet and have nothing to wear, they could either look at these pictures the night before or that morning and know immediately, oh, I think I'll wear this, and I know it looks great together.
Oh, that's clever.
Mm-hmm.
That is very smart. And do you take pictures of people, photos of people at your parties too?
I haven't as much as other things. I don't, it's a little bit hard because I'm telling them what to wear with it, so we don't have the other item. So I think it doesn't tell as much of the story as the conversation does, or as much as, you know, a stylized head-to-toe outfit, because it's just sort of an item.
I see. Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
we're starting to run out of time here.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just thinking, wouldn't it be fun to set up two parties in a row and have them come back with the ideas that you made and take before and after pictures? Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, I love that idea. I love new, fresh ideas. Yes. As long as either the hostess is willing to do it or we find another location to do it, that is a great idea. I love it. I will look into that, you know, and everybody's going to commit. But that sounds fabulous.
Well, is there another way that people can get in touch with you besides your website?
Absolutely. Well, all my contact information is on my website, but they are also welcome to email me.
Some people don't have computers, and they still would like to look good.
Okay. I was going to give you the email, which I will anyway, and then I'll give you my phone number. So the email is Diane, D-I-A-N-E, at empower.com. And my phone number is 646-831-2584, and I am happy to give any of the listeners a consultation. We discuss how to dress with confidence and ease, and that is complimentary on the phone. Takes about half an hour, and we can talk about what their wardrobe needs are.
Oh, that's fabulous. If you could just say one thing to our listeners that would make them feel a little more confident about going out, what would you tell them?
About going out? Okay, I'm not clear on what you're asking.
Well, suppose they have, maybe a housewife has to meet her husband's bosses, or they're invited to a special occasion that is honoring one of their friends,
mm-hmm.
in an area that they usually don't go to, and they are
So, well, if you can't have someone like myself on call, I would definitely say to ask a trusted friend for advice. You know, put together the outfit and ask them what their opinion of it is. That's really the best way, somebody who sort of, you know, knows you and knows your look. And actually, that reminds me of one other thing that I do, which is called Your Best Look Express. And there you would need access to a camera that you can email a picture of me, to me. And then I can give my commentary, you know, what kind of shoes do I wear with this dress, or any type of information like that. It's a quick response from an expert. But if you don't have the expert, yeah, I would definitely ask some friends or family, you know, what their opinion is. And obviously you want to go to somebody whose taste you trust.
Uh-huh. Well, I would say for somebody that thought they couldn't go enter the fashion industry because they couldn't draw, you have created your own life and your own way of dealing with it, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I would strongly recommend it, because there have been times when I really got so far out of fashion, you know, with having four children and all kinds of things like that, that I would have been desperate to have someone to tell me, do this and don't do that. And you know, this is so 10 years ago, you know, and it doesn't work anymore. And but I think this is absolutely wonderful that you're really tailoring your service to the individual woman.
Absolutely, yes. So there's no must-haves.
and the spirit, what you really have to have is your spirit feeling free and positive, and that you can feel comfortable and natural no matter where you are and what you're doing.
Right. Be yourself, and then the rest shines from there. Be your best self.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you ever so much, Diane. It's been fun talking to you. And I think everybody has picked up some little gem one way or the other. And I'm just tickled, absolutely tickled, to give people an idea of how someone can reinvent themselves and then stay true to their own spirit at the same time.
Absolutely, yes. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Now, I always end these sessions with a little guided imagery, so hold on with me and just close your eyes and tense your whole body, like your body is a whole, it's one big fist, until you feel yourself kind of trembling and then collapse like a rag doll. And just imagine that you're kind of, everything that you can focus and concentrate on is in a little ball underneath your nose. And as you breathe, just float on that breath. Just imagine you're just floating in. And as you exhale, just let go of anything that is coming between you and everything you want. Just blow it away. Take another deep breath and float in some more. Just float in through all the layers of consciousness, from the outer consciousness to the inner consciousness, to that wonderful, safe, wonderful place inside of you where everything is good for you. The universe is on your side. Everybody is rooting for you, cheering for you. Everything you do is perfect and natural, and you are so full and filled with the spirit of being that you couldn't possibly do anything wrong. And just soak it up. Just soak up all that wonderful, wonderful feeling. Just feed your being. Feed your spirit. Fill your heart up with love. And now take a deep breath, stretch a little bit, wiggle your fingers and toes. And thank you, everybody. Thank you, Diane. And we're going to end, as usual, with love and light.